seated, unless you want to stand for a long time. All right. And it's so good to be here tonight to celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So thanks for joining us. Again, if you're a guest, we are so thankful that you're here. We hope you feel welcomed and encouraged tonight. We also welcome those. We've got plenty of people worshiping with us online as well because of either their traveling or sickness or just unable to be here. So we're glad that you're worshiping with us as well. Make sure that you comment on there and you can share this this page and whatnot. But we're super glad that you're here. Hey, we're going to look at the Bible here in just a little bit. If you need a Bible, we've got some. We've got a few left back there. It's our gift to you. So if you need one, the words will be on the screen as well. At Christmas time, this season as a church, we've been walking through a series called The Sounds of Christmas. Right? When you think about Christmas, a lot of times you think about your favorite Christmas song. Right? So each week we've been looking at and thinking about well-known Christmas songs, and we're looking to God's Word to see the biblical truth behind them. And so far, the first week we looked at O Come Emmanuel, then we looked at Hark, the Herald Angels Sing, and then Joy to the World. So I'd encourage you to jump on our website or YouTube, and you can see those messages and the truth behind those songs. Tonight, we're going to look at and think about probably my most favorite song. Is that proper English? Kiddos, I want to know. Just yell it out. Are you ready? This is crowd participation. Young people, Charles, you can do it too. Right. What's your favorite Christmas song? Ready? One, two, three. Mine too. All right. That's good. Yeah, I heard every single one of them. All good songs, guys. Tonight, we're going to look to God's Word to see the biblical foundation behind the song, O Holy Night. And then, after we're done with the message, we're going to sing the song together, hopefully in a fresh, new way. Sometimes when we sing songs that we know so well, and we've been singing since we were kids or hearing on the radio, we just kind of go into auto, right? We just sing them without thinking about it. So we're going to look at the history of O Holy Night, and then we're going to open our Bibles and read about this holy night. The story behind the song is so interesting. Four people played a big part in this song story. The first man, his name is Placide Capot. How'd I do, French people? Did I do okay? No French people here, so I did 100%, right? Placide Capot. And this French man, he was a wine commissioner. But he was also known locally as a poet. And in 1847, in France, a local priest came and asked the poet if he would write a poem for them to recite at Christmas. And so Placide was not a Christian. That's an important part of the story. He was not a Christian, but he agreed to do it. And while traveling on a stagecoach, he opened up the Bible that he had to the Gospel of Luke. In your Bibles, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. That's where we're going to be at today if you want to get a head start on looking for that. But he opened up the Bible to the Gospel of Luke to read and to learn and to help him imagine the birth of Jesus. And so based off of Luke and then other places in the Bible, he wrote the words to this poem about Jesus' birth. And after writing it, he thought, man, this is really good. I need to put some music to this. And so since he wasn't a musician, he went to a friend named Adolphe Charles Adams. So the first man was not a Christian, and his friend, Adolphe, was not either. He was a Jewish man, and being a Jew, Adams didn't believe that Jesus was the Savior and the Messiah, but he agreed to put music to this poem. And three weeks later, that song was written or sung in churches on Christmas Eve. People loved it. Christians loved it. They began to sing it. Many churches began to sing it until some discovered and complained and worried because it was written and composed by two non-Christians. We know that God can people use people that aren't saved. Amen, church, right? And so the leaders of the many churches, they said no more, and they banned that song to be sung in their churches. But years later, this song was basically rediscovered by a third guy in America named John Sullivan Dwight. And Dwight was an abolitionist in the United States fighting to end slavery. And this song really caught his attention because when he found it, he loved the connection of it talking about Jesus freeing us from slavery and oppression from our sins, right? And then also him freeing people from slavery and then also a slave becoming our brother.
And so he translated the song into English, he published it as a magazine, and then it began to grow again in popularity. And then there's guy number four. Years later, in 1906, I have no idea how to say this last name, so I'm going to go for it. Reginald Fessenden, all right? Then we're going to go with it. He was a professor, he was a former chemist for Thomas Edison, and he came across this song. And that year on Christmas Eve, he did something super special. Using a new type of generator, Fessenden spoke into a microphone, and for the first time in history, a person's voice was broadcast over the airwaves, through the radio airwaves. And here's what he said on that Christmas Eve. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. He was reading the story of Jesus' birth from Luke. And then when he finished, he opened up, or reading from God's Word, he picked up his violin and he played O Holy Night. And it became the first song ever sent through the airwaves, through the radio airwaves. And so what I want to do tonight is for us to, just like they did, is to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 1 and 2. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 26. We're going to see the biblical foundation found in this song as we celebrate the birth of Jesus on this Christmas Eve night. The words will be on the screen as well. Don't forget, we've got Bibles back there as a gift to you. But look with me to Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. If you're able, would you guys do this to honor God? And because it's a special night, would we stand to read this? You guys follow along as I read. I won't have you stand every time we read, I promise, okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" I'm still confused how she's had a normal conversation with the angel, but "How can this be since I am a virgin or have not been with a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month." Love this verse, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord." She's identifying herself as a servant of God. "May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her immediately. When we think about the song, "O Holy Night," and we think about Christmas, we need to understand that the night in which Jesus was born, this night was like no other night. The word "holy" in "O Holy Night," it means to be set apart. So you can say, "O set apart night," right? "O Holy Night," meaning that the night in which Jesus was born, there was no other night like it before, and there will never be another night like it again. It was a divine night. It was a night initiated by God Himself when God was doing something special and unique. It was the night when Christ, our Savior, was born. And what this passage that we just read is doing is it's preparing Mary and it's preparing the world for this upcoming special night. In fact, God's people have been waiting for this special night, for this O Holy Night, for years, hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, what happened in Genesis chapter 3? You got Mary, or not Mary, that's the wrong story. You got Adam and Eve and the fruit, right? And sin entered the world when they disobeyed God. And listen, in Genesis chapter 3, God in the Garden of Eden, right after sin entered into our world, God made a promise that He would rescue us and that He would crush Satan. God made a promise that He would rescue us and crush Satan. And then you skip ahead in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Guys, this is 700 years prior to Jesus being born. Through the prophet Isaiah, the promise was also made to God's people that God's people had been in slavery. They had faced threats and attacks from their enemies. They lived in exile. They lived in sin. They kept turning from God and coming back and turning from God and coming back. Life had been hard for them, but God gives them a promise. 700 years prior, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. She shall call his name Emmanuel. Church, 700 years prior to Jesus being born, God is pointing his people to this holy night that we still celebrate today, when a virgin will give birth to a child, to a son, and she is to call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Emmanuel doesn't mean a God with us. It doesn't mean a created God with us. It doesn't mean a God that worked his way up to Godhood. Are you with me? This is God, Creator God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, which is Jesus, is God. Amen. Guys, God was making a point that he is coming for his people, and he is coming with his people, and that he is coming to rescue his people. Then we get to Luke chapter 1 and we see the beginning of that promise come through. They've been waiting for years, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And God himself sent an angel with a message to the Virgin Mary. Listen to what he tells her. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. Will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord given the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. We saw in Isaiah that this child will be called Emmanuel. And we see that come true when the angel comes to Jesus and tells Joseph to name him Emmanuel. We see that in Matthew chapter 1. The angel says, hey, you're going to name him Emmanuel because he is going to be God with us. And so we already know a little bit about this special child and who he is. He's Emmanuel, and he's God with us. And church, that's what separates this night from all other nights. It's the night, the divine night, the night that God initiated when God the Father sent God the Son into our world, into our lives, into our mess, into our brokenness to be with us. And then the angel tells us more about this, who this child is. We already see that he's been the promised one, that he's God with us. And then the angel says, call him Jesus. I love this. The name Jesus is huge, church. The name Jesus is Yeshua. It means the Lord is salvation. It means Yahweh. It is salvation. It means the Lord God saves. That's who Jesus is. And there it is, church. This night is set apart because this is the night when Jesus, God, the Savior of the world, is going to be born into our mess and brokenness. The psalm says it right away in the second line. It is the night. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that this is the night when we hang out with family, or when we open gifts, or when we go shopping, or when we put lights up. This is the night of the dear Savior's birth. And then the angel says, he's going to be great. I think that's an understatement, amen? Right? He will be called the Son of the Most High. Verse 35 says, the Holy Spirit will come upon Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. It was very important that Joseph did not impregnate her. Are you with me? It was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed her. And for that reason, this holy child, Jesus, will be called the Son of God. Church, this is really important. The title Son of God is given to the one who bears the same qualities as his Father in heaven. That's huge. Another way to show us that he is God. And the angel says, this holy night, it's coming, Mary. You're going to be a part of it. It's almost here, weary world. Jesus is coming to be with you, and his reign will never end. And I love Mary's response. She said, I am your servant. God, may it be done just as you have said. We're going to come back to that in a minute because that's huge. But then we come to Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can flip the page over. But Luke chapter 2, verse 1. God promised this night all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Isaiah prophesied about this night 700 years prior. And now an angel has come and foretold about what's going to happen about 9 months later. And now, this holy night that we celebrate tonight is here. By the way, let's pause and know that God is good. He keeps his promises. He's kept his promises throughout history. When his people continue to walk away from him, he doesn't stop loving us. He keeps pursuing us. He keeps forgiving us. That's why Jesus came, church, because he's good and he keeps his promises. All right, look at verse 1 of Luke 2. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth, meaning all the places that are under his authority. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. By the way, you might want to write this down. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Micah tells God's people that the promised Savior is going to come and be born out of Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and family of David, he, in order to register with Mary, he was engaged to him and was with child. Quick time out. The engagement for them was a little different than for us. Your Bible might say the word betrothed. When they were engaged, it was actually a legal deal. Are you with me? Right? When we're engaged here, like there's that commitment hasn't been made yet, right? The official commitment. But it was like about a year worth of them being together to show that they're faithful and to help be prepared for the marriage. So technically, he is her husband. Are you with me? All right. She was engaged to him, and she was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Church, everything has been building up and pointing to verse 7 when Jesus was born. And everything after that day points back to the holy night when Jesus was born. Guys, what we celebrate tonight, don't miss this. What we celebrate tonight is the ultimate game changer in your life. What we celebrate tonight is your life changer. What we celebrate tonight is world changing. And what we celebrate tonight is eternal life changing. You see, because Jesus came into our world, because Jesus lived a spotless and sinless life, because he came to die for your sins and my sins and save us from the penalty and the consequences of our sin. Because it was God in the flesh who came to do this for us, that's what makes this night set apart. You see, as the song states, all we got to do is turn the radio on, turn the TV on, turn the computer on, look at your phone. As the song states, even today, we are still in a world surrounded by sin and error and sadness and brokenness. Are you with me? But there is a thrill of hope, as the song says. And our weary world can rejoice. Why? Because there's a new morning. There's a new life available through Jesus. Through Jesus, you can be freed from slavery to sin. Through Jesus, you can be free from eternal death, separated from God. You know, when we sin, God's holy. He can't sin. And so there's that separation. And there's nothing we can do to get to God. There's nothing we can do to make it right. And so that's why Jesus came. And when we trust in Jesus, we are free from slavery to sin. We are free from eternal death apart from God. And we are now united back with God. And so when we're saved, we can look forward to the day where there is no more captivity, where there's no more sorrow, where there's no more death, and all God's people said, amen, right? We can look forward to the day when we're with Jesus and free from even the temptation of sin. Because of this old holy night when Christ was born. You guys don't have to turn there. It'll be up on the screen. Look what happens just a few chapters over in Luke 4. By the way, don't you love having kiddos in here? Yeah. Yes, we do. We love it. Jesus stands up in the synagogue and he reads from the scroll. Here's what he says. Jesus is reading this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus says, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He then, I just love this, he then rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant. He sat down, all the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began by saying to them, today, as you listen, the scripture has been fulfilled. Did you hear what Jesus is saying about himself? He's saying, I'm the one sent. I'm the one sent to proclaim and bring the good news. I'm the one sent to relieve the captives of sin. I'm the one sent to give sight. I'm the one sent, and I came on this holy night. Church, there is injustice in this world. There is sin and evil and brokenness and oppression and sickness and hardship and persecution and heartache and captivity and loneliness and anxiety and depression all around us. You may be experiencing some of that tonight. But that's what makes Christmas go so special. That's what sets this holy night from every other night. Because this is the night when your healer, When your rescuer, when your forgiver, and the one who came to make all things right, that's when he came into our world. He came to unite the black and the white, and the rich and the poor, and the strong and the weak, and the popular and the unpopular, and the forgotten, and he unites them all together in Christ, church. By the way, I shared this with our church already, but just I'm going to give you another little freebie. Politicians, celebrities, programs, policies are all trying to unite people and bring unity into our world, but the Bible tells us that only Jesus can do that. Amen. Only Jesus can do that. And I love this. He was not distant. He didn't just reach down. He didn't just send an angel down. He came down to us and made this a special, oh, holy night. Before we close, I want us to look back at chapter 1. Remember when Mary received this news from God. What did she do? Look at what she said. She said, "See, I'm the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." I want us to see how Mary and others respond to what happened on this whole holy night. Because church, who you say Jesus is and how you respond to Jesus will determine your eternity. It will determine your eternity. Mary says this. She hears from God and she says, "God, I am your servant. I will do as you said." You know what Mary is saying to God? She's saying, and this is in your notes, you can see it on the back of your bulletin. She's saying and showing God that she trusted him. She's showing that she's going to follow him. And after the angel left, we don't have time to look at all of that, but she exalts and she sings. And in verses 46 through 56, she praised God, she exalted him. What does that have to do with us? God's the one who initiated this time. He sent God the Son, Jesus. He made a way for you and me to be forgiven of our sins. He made a way for us to be with him for eternity. And so, friends, our response to Jesus, our response to the Lord tonight should be like Mary's. We should trust God. We should follow God as he leads us, and we should exalt him with our lives. You can trust the Lord to lead you. You can trust the Lord to love you, and you can trust the Lord to save you from your sins, even the one no one else knows about. And then, we'll read this verse from there in a few minutes, but in Luke chapter 2, we see the shepherd, right? We sang about them, right? They hear Jesus, Emmanuel, the Savior of the world is born, and how do they respond? They come to Jesus. They glorified him, and they praised him. Their life changed on this oh holy night. Jesus came into and changed their life, and he changed their eternity. They were low and rejected, but Jesus came to them. And they said, "I want him. I want to be with him." You know, too often we're always like, "Well, what can God do for me?" No. He's already done everything for us. Amen? And we sing of them in our song when it says that we are to proclaim him and give him the glory and to praise him. That's the example the shepherds left us. And then one more we see from Matthew chapter 2. Sometime later, the wise men came. And we read about this in our song as well. We're going to sing this. Matthew chapter 2, 10 through 11. Dennis just read this. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming to the house, they saw the child. They saw Jesus with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground worshiping. The psalm says they fell on their knees. You know what that means? It means they humbled themselves before the Almighty God, Creator and Savior of this world, and they worshiped. The wise men, they came to Jesus, they bowed down, and they worshiped Jesus. Guys, when we realize who Jesus is, he's not just a good guy, he's not just a good teacher that somehow found his way to die on the cross. He is God, he is the Savior, he is the Creator, he is the one that is going to make all things right. When we realize who he is, that he's the perfect one, he came to rescue us and save us. When we realize that he took your sins and mine to the cross and died in our place and rose again, conquering death and hell and sin. When we realize that he is Lord and he's in charge of everything, our response should be like Mary, the shepherds, and the wise men. Let's trust Jesus with our lives and with our eternity today. Let's come to him and praise him, and let's bow down and worship him. How will you respond to Jesus? Mary trusted, followed, and exalted him. The shepherds came to and glorified and praised him. The wise men pursued him, bowed down, and worshiped him. How will you respond to Jesus today? I know this isn't a normal church service, but if you guys would just humor me for a minute and just bow your heads and close your eyes. What is God speaking to you today? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, how are you going to worship him? How are you going to glorify him? How are you going to praise him? How are you going to respond to him? Have that moment with God. Pray to him and talk to him about that. What do you need to surrender to him? God deserves our life, not just our Sundays. God deserves every day, not just the holidays. If you're sitting here today and you say, you know what, I do not know Jesus as my Savior. I consider myself religious, or I've never even considered it. But today, I know that I need to give Jesus my life. I need to ask Jesus to save me. I need that. Is anybody in here today? No one's looking around. No one's looking around. If anybody here today says, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior so that I can spend eternity with Him, just slip your hand up in the air. I won't even call you out. You can come and find me right after we're done singing and doing our candlelight. But don't leave without knowing Jesus today. The one that made you came to save you even though we sinned against Him. If you're here and don't know Jesus, don't leave without knowing Jesus. I would love for you to come and connect with me or someone after church and say, let's talk about Jesus. I need you. Father God, we surrender this night to you, this oh holy night, when our dear Savior was born. God, we pray, Lord, that if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus, they would surrender to you today. God, we thank you for saving us. We thank you that you came to give your life for us. We thank you for the example that you left for us. God, as we sing, O Holy Night, be glorified. Help all of us, young people, old people, men, women, help us all sing and glorify you. And then when we get to the candlelight part, God, help us be reminded that you, the light of the world, came into the dark world. And it's our job to carry your light into other people's lives. We love you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.